You are about to opt in to Monerotopia, a show for the Monero community where all are welcome to join, from noob to maxi, no matter what bags you hold. Just sit back and relax to the sweet sounds of Monero's latest progress, or if you're feeling inspired, join us on stage. Remember, the only thing that can stop Monero is a false belief that it can be stopped. And if you want to win the revolution faster, we recommend you remove your XMR from all custodial exchanges immediately. Warning, voting accidents are common around here. Don't forget to properly secure your private keys. Monerotopia starts now.
All right. Good morning, man. What's going on?
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself? Drinking that gratuitous?
Drinking the gratuitous. Doing well.
All right.
Had a pretty decent sleep. Too well, though. I wasn't able to wake up early and go for my do my exercise this morning. That was nice. I did that like the last two tracks.
Oh, the run? Yeah.
So now I got to do it after the show. Eats into the day. How about you, man? How's the exercise going? I know you've been, right? You've been focused.
Yeah, on... yep. I'm trying to work out a bit, you know, lifting.
Yeah? Okay.
Trying to become a buff penguin. Jack penguin.
What's your schedule? What are you doing?
Usually
cardio
I go like
too, or you're just like trying to lift, gain muscle.
I mean, a little bit of cardio, but mostly just trying to gain muscle.
Okay.
But I usually go like every other day, and I have a couple friends I go with, so it's a good time to just hang out and work out.
Nice. You're not one of those annoying groups where like you guys don't actually work out on the machine.
No. Yeah.
All right, yeah. Don't be those guys.
Yeah. No.
That's fun. That's a good activity. All right. Yeah. Let's get it started. We'll try to run through everything within like an hour, hour and a half, continue on with our days. But lots of good stuff today.
Awesome. Sweet. Let's jump into the price report.
Yeah, jump into the price report. And then we'll get the special guest up here. And then we'll do news dirt while the special guest is on board, since we don't have Tony News today.
All right. Awesome. Sounds good. I'll run that.
Let's do it.
The Monerotopia Price Report segment is sponsored by Local Monero. Avoid using KYC exchanges. Buy and sell Monero directly for fiat, peer-to-peer.
Good morning.
Oh, shit. Looks like the space ended. I don't know why that happened.
Uh-oh.
Well, all right, we'll just keep on going.
Typical okay. Twitter issues.
They should be on YouTube anyways for the charts. Just kidding. I don't want to tell anyone on Spaces what they should do with the social media. Okay, so we've got Monero on the weekly here. I got another weekly close coming up, actually a monthly close here in just a couple days. Just wanted to kind of keep the big picture in mind. You'll notice that we've got these standard deviation bands that we talked about last week. So the blue up here at the top and the orange at the bottom. These white clusters is moving average. And overall in the Monero US dollar price, the moving average cluster, the very long-term moving averages, is kind of what seems to have, where price seems to have stopped. Hypothetically, just in terms like a pure wave magic analysis, that's what I call this kind of wavy blue and orange line stuff, call it wave magic. Anyways, hypothetically, you could go down to the bottom here, but fundamentally, it seems like there's price support here from Monero. I'd be really surprised if we ever got down to $70. That would have to be like some crazy brutal bear market across the board. So yeah, let's zoom in a little bit, go to the daily, and maybe we can clear some of these lines. There's not too much relevant right here for the wave magic, the standard deviation analysis, basically just hanging out in this top cluster. Wouldn't be surprising to see us come down to this long-term line. So we'll clear all the colorful stuff. Yeah, again, so we've got kind of like this big, this white line right here. It wouldn't be surprising at all at some point to try and touch this line again. We had like this fake out to the downside. I don't know what that was about. Probably just, probably just cleaning out shorts, cleaning out longs to both sides. It's a common thing. So something that wrecks traders is, the actual move will be one direction and then they'll clear out to the opposite direction first, kind of like market maker stuff. There's always a bigger whale out there usually. So yeah, right now there's not too much exciting. Not much has really happened with price for really hardly anybody. But you can see there's kind of like a little bit of a triangle forming here. But yeah, nothing really exciting with the Monero US dollar price. One thing I kind of wanted to reiterate was that big inverse head and shoulders that's happening on the Monero dominance seems to be playing out. Would be wonderful to see this thing kind of come up here and then break this line. That would basically be the confirmation you want to see that that it's very likely for this head and shoulders to play out. So yeah, we'll just have to keep an eye on this. This is the weekly chart, so it's kind of a long-term chart. We've got the Monero Bitcoin ratio. Again, kind of zoomed out, end of the month. Take a little bit of a zoomed out picture here. We're basically riding this lower support. And you can see that from when Monero launched, we're basically at that same level. And we overall, like, it's been up, it's been down, up, down. We've basically been centered around the Monero launch opening price level now for, I believe, for like 3 or 4 years, which is slightly, you know, I mean, I feel like in terms of what Monero is and does and the organic adoption it's experiencing, I feel like we should have a higher price, but, you know, relative to Bitcoin. But if we zoom in, so we're on the daily now. We had drawn this line before. Here we go. We had drawn this line. You could draw this line a number of ways, right? So you could put this the top of it right there. We could also try and draw the line to look more like this, perhaps. So this is what I mean about drawing lines. Like, you've got to understand that they can be dubious, and that it depends on like which time frame you look at. Like, you could look at the 4 hour. You might want to draw the line different if you look at the 4 hour versus the daily versus the weekly. This overall, to me, again, like we talked about last week, like, this looks kind of like a plausible bottoming pattern here. These kinds of patterns can just continue to chop sideways for a long period of time. I would hope that somewhere around October timeframe, maybe even September timeframe, that Monero starts popping versus Bitcoin. Again, I do think that the Gox coin being released could be something that drives that. And that's something that I've said for a while, that to really drive a sustainable run versus Bitcoin, and really in dominance overall, that we need to see some kind of like fundamental event take place. So, you know, maybe that combined with the fact that they released, it's not RandomX, but they released a CPU algorithm to stop the Tor DDoS attacks. So basically, if Tor is getting congested and the servers are getting overloaded, too many requests, they start requiring some kind of CPU proof of work. So they used basically RandomX, a derivative of that, in combination with some other things. So anyways, the point is that if dark nets are starting to really come back online, there's the chance that demand could also drive a little bit Monero demand here. So yeah, we just got to wait and see. Hopefully this thing can eventually pop to the upside. It still could be a couple months, but we'll keep an eye on that. We'll look at the XMR versus Ethereum as well. And this is a daily chart right here, looking again at the Wave Magic. This should be somewhat familiar in terms of, you know, the way that we've drawn these lines out over the past, you know, few months, really, really almost over the past year now. So yeah, we kind of broke down and then finally broke out through this channel. Right now, the reason I wanted to show you guys this chart in terms of Wave Magic is that we still kind of have like this lower cluster down here that you could plausibly visit. I was kind of expecting, when things were down here, I really was expecting to come make a visit down to this spot, but you know, it just luckily Monero just kind of stopped, decided it wanted to have some strength. You definitely think that this thing can return back to this spot as well. Whether it comes down first, or whether it goes up first, I'm not really convinced. But if we're going to compare it to what we were talking about with Bitcoin, we might say, you know, to expect during October, September for this thing to start going up. So, again, you know, we'll just have to watch it. The divergences, not much has happened, kind of been up and down. Overall, I think for the past week, we've seen more up than down, at least on Binance. Although I think KuCoin is starting to become more relevant. We have to keep a careful eye on Binance and the whole exchange situation, because Binance is kind of under attack, and it's not necessarily looking great for them. I think that they're probably planning their exits. They're probably like the crypto cabal, the suits are probably planning to really move things to some other exchange at some point here, just in case the trial for Binance doesn't work out, because they've got quite a number of things going on. We can look at the broader crypto market quickly, and we'll see, here's the Bitcoin chart. I took the liberty with trying to draw this chart slightly differently than we had it drawn up before. I added some new lines. So obviously this is big picture chart, right? This is the bull market, whole bear market happened. And then we're kind of, it looks to me, so every now and then I erase my lines and I redraw them. I don't want to get tunnel vision. And it does look to me like you could call this a rising triangle, effectively what we have here, or sorry, a rising wedge. You could very easily call this a wedge structure. And typically these things break down. I wouldn't say that we're in like kind of this big macro bullish environment. Like, I mean, yes, it's bullish. Yes, the macro turned around late last year. But right now, you know, we're kind of seeing signals that are really giving me pause to wonder how much longer this can continue. I know I've been saying this now for probably the last month that I'm becoming concerned how long this can continue. I really, you know, you really wanted to see this breakout right here. You didn't want to see all these wicks and then come back to the downside. You really wanted to see some kind of breakout in that regard. You might notice this line right here is also kind of a new line that I drew, which cuts through the November top. That might seem a little dubious, and maybe it is, but it is something that you can do with lines. That they are significant fairly often. So we'll drop down here into the daily really quick, and you can see a little bit more clearly why you might want to draw this kind of wedge, this wedge pattern. Maybe we could move that line up just slightly. But yeah, I mean, looking at this, it's, again, on balance of probabilities, these kinds of wedges tend to break down. If we were in like some major kind of bullish scenario where the Fed is like cutting rates and their balance sheet is increasing, right? You might say, okay, hey, this thing is ready to break to the upside, but the macro doesn't exactly look like that. So we had the Fed meeting last week, like we talked about. They raised rates a quarter point, which is exactly what we wanted to see. Honestly, like, we don't want these markets to get out of control now, unless you just really love inflation, unless you just really love paying more for rent and more for cars and more for everything. You know, you really want to see things kind of just chop sideways here. We can still make money trading in a sideways market. You know, you just have to understand the big picture that you're in. But yeah, I mean, the thing I don't want to see is more inflation personally. That just gets annoying eventually. So anyways, the Fed raised rates. This is the obviously the yield chart for overall, you know, the 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, all the way to the 30 year. And then the overnight rate is the white step function line that you see here. So one thing that's important to note here that Jay Powell said is that real rates are now positive. What that means is that the Fed rates are now above the inflation rate. So the inflation rate really quick, can we? Where did I put it? Probably here. Here we go. Okay. So the inflation rate is, the CPI is in white. Yeah, the CPI is in white. So it's down at 3% now. Fed rates are like 5% or 5.5%. And then even the core inflation is now down below 5%. So real rates are now positive, right? So that's actually something that hasn't happened for quite a long time, where the Fed rates are actually higher than the inflation rate. So that's an interesting thing that's happened. Like we talked about with the balance sheet has come down. Like, you'll notice that we've talked about this chart for a while. That's March, where you know, it kind of bottomed, and then they had to expand the liquidity. And then we said, hey, this is going to come back down. Those are short-term loans. And the Fed is continuing to sell off their balance sheet. And that was one thing they noted at the meeting. And they're going to continue to sell off this balance sheet. Now, in the big picture, you know, let's keep the big picture in mind. And some crazy event, I don't remember what it was exactly, but in 2020, like, something happened where they just massively expanded that balance sheet. So, you know, big picture, like, there's still a lot of liquidity in the markets, which is why I'm not of the, you know, crash and die, crash and burn deflation thesis. But, you know, this is enough, right, to have a pullback, right? It is enough to eventually kind of weigh on the markets and keep it from making significant new all-time highs. We won't look really at global liquidity today. I'm seeing there's different scripts here where they take into account like M2 money supply and balance sheets of different banks, and they put them all together and they tell you what the global liquidity situation looks like. But they don't, none of these scripts say the same thing. So that makes me nervous that people have different methodologies. So I'm going to have to like dig deep into this. Hopefully I can get to it this week and kind of come up with my own script. You know, I don't know why necessarily my script would be better than anyone else's, but you know, I like to verify things for myself, and maybe I can compare what these other guys are doing. And other than that, there's, I guess, not too much more to talk about. We're trying to keep it quick today. Dollar index is probably important. We should talk about that. So we had like this violent drop like we talked about, and we said, hey, more gains are on the way here. And we did see some new highs in the stock market. This could just be like a fake out. Right now, I'm not convinced which way the dollar wants to go. I'm kind of personally of the thesis that we should be looking to August or maybe September for a general top in these markets. I'm just really not convinced that there's a whole lot more in the tank here before a significant pullback needs to happen across the board, which almost kind of would line up with what we talked about with Monero, as kind of we've talked about since forever, that Monero seems to do good during the bear market. Fundamentals seem to matter during bear markets. So if we think that there's going to be some kind of movement of Monero towards the upside around the August, September timeframe, well, then we, you know, that might be a signal that the rest of the markets are going to go down in terms of like risk on markets, that is, you know, stock markets, crypto, et cetera. And then the dollar index here, again, I mean, this chart could still go, at this point, it could go either way, right? This could have just easily been a fake out, or it could be like, that's like a sign of what's to come where it might kind of do this. If you see the dollar index starting to move below this line and hang out below that line, look out below on the dollar index, and that will be a big sign for us that probably they're going to run the markets even further. I don't think that's a good idea, again, for inflation, et cetera, for all the reasons we've talked about. I would much rather see the dollar index, again, get into this zone here, stay in this zone, eventually break this line. And that would basically tell us that it's time to go up, that the direction here on the dollar index is going to go up. So, yeah, that's basically all. That's all the like the important things that we need to look at today. So unless there's anything you guys would like to look at. That should
Somebody said in the comments, do we still suspect Binance is shorting XMR with coins they don't actually have?
100%. Yeah, they're fractionally reserved. It seems like over the past, say, 5 to 6 months that they've acquired enough XMR to keep their withdrawals open. But it's kind of like, I don't know if y'all ever heard the stories about the old gold vaults, like back in the wildcat banking days. What they realized, so people would deposit their gold into the vault, you know, for safety. And what these vaults realized is, hey, we can actually, because they'll issue a certificate in exchange for that gold. So, okay, we owe you, you know, X amount of gold. They realized they could issue about 10 times more certificates before they would get like some major run on their vault. So that, you know, they were basically printing fake gold. So we have all the evidence from really the past couple years that Binance absolutely has been doing this along with the other exchanges. They're not doing it as badly because they're meeting withdrawals on a regular basis. We don't see them shut down for days at a time like we did last year, particularly last year, but also in 2021. So yes, it's difficult to believe that they actually acquired their full order book. Why would they do that after fractionally reserving for the past couple of years? But it's not as bad as it used to. So would be my answer.
And that's probably only also because they're having to like get rid of Monero completely, right? They're having to like let people get out of that.
Yeah. And the countries that they've removed it, I don't remember which countries that is. Was it like France, Netherlands?
Netherlands, yeah.
A few, like a handful of European countries. It sounds like the European Union is going to crack down on them here eventually. So yeah, it could be the case that they are acquiring a little bit more Monero at a time, knowing that that's coming so that they can meet those demand, withdrawal demands. It's possible.
All right. Your theory with dark markets picking back up again, that's pretty interesting. So, I mean, has there been a lull?
Well, the word on the street, on the dark street, was that basically there was a big DDoS attack against darknet markets really since, I think it was like the end of last year. And then finally, with the release of CPU proof of work, that DDoS attack has subsided. I believe it has subsided. I don't know. I haven't looked into myself personally how much darknet markets are picking up. But it sort of, to me, it stands to reason that if darknet markets were having problems due to DDoS attacks and shutdowns, you know, that we weren't getting a lot of like real usage of Monero in the darknets, that seemed to be like at least a convenient explanation for some of the price drops that we saw in Monero recently. Or at least the lack of performance that we kind of expected to see, that even the chart would have suggested that we should have seen. So that was kind of like one of my hypotheses. You couldn't even call it a theory, you know, just a wild conjecture. But so I'm kind of speculating here, potentially if this DDoS attack is resolved, then perhaps dark net markets are starting to pick up again. One could hope. Maybe, I don't know. It depends on what they're selling, right? Are they selling freedom or are they selling, I don't know, people, right? It's different things.
Get theirs. All right, man. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.
Just, you know, I guess it's more waiting to see what happens, right?
Go ahead. I'd like to see some more clarity, particularly on the dollar index. I'd like to see it move to a certain direction. I'd just like to see a few things kind of show us more clarity. I would hate to just see the markets like crash and burn to the downside and be like, crap, you know, like that. It's hard to get out of the market right now because I could plausibly see another higher high for, you know, Bitcoin and other coins. But that might not happen. But I would like to just see the signals that show us that we're about to make, you know, a downturn, so I can sort of get out of my positions at a higher level than a lower level. But that's not necessarily how the market always behaves.
So we're not quite back, but it's also not over.
It's probably not quite over. There could plausibly be new highs coming, but they, you know, not like 40K, 50K, like 35K maybe.
Yeah.
How does an alien scenario affect all this? You know, we get a complete alien reveal. They come down, they're talking with us.
Obviously, they're going to adopt Bitcoin and become maximalists, bro. Like,
they're BTC maxis? No way. No.
They're very
secretive, right? They don't want anybody to know who they are. I mean, they're obviously hiding. I think Monero.
I mean, that's the more plausible scenario, but I guess I've been reading too much Twitter. You know, one idea that I had on the alien thing was the government. So I'm not saying I believe the aliens are here or not, but let's just pretend that they have been for a long time, for thousands of years or whatever. The government waited until no one would actually believe them to finally confess that they've known about the aliens for, you know, a long time. Nobody's going to believe us now. Let's just tell them about the aliens and they'll be like, fuck you anymore.
Right. It's at the point where we don't believe anything the government says. And now it's like, they're finally.
nice little reverse psyop there.
They're good, man. They're good. Who's ever writing the script, they know what they're doing.
Tricky bastard.
All right, buddy.
Stick around
if you can. We have a lot to talk about. We'll do the news. We'll try to bring everybody up and chime in on if you're around for that.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ducks.
All right. We run into the guest segment.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep it going.
Let's go.
The Monerotopia guest segment is sponsored by Cake Wallet. Store, send, receive, and exchange your Monero and Bitcoin safely on iOS and Android too. Cake Wallet is open source, and you always control your own keys.
D Martian, what's up, man?
Hello. Hey, I'm excited to be talking here today. We got lots of good topics, it seems like.
Speaking of aliens, we have our resident Monero alien, D Martian.
Yeah, not all of Monero is owned by Earthlings. That's certain. That's to be certain.
What's going on, man? We'll talk about the alien stuff because I'd love to get your take on things. I don't know how closely you've been following it, but I know you have other things to talk about. You're working on a project, right? Like a Monero wallet. If I'm fine.
Right. Well, I mean, me working on it is, I'm not one of the devs. What I noticed was that there's this wallet that everyone's been really excited about. It's been a little bit underground. It's the Enon wallet, enonero.io. And once I got some news about it, I saw the site, it's on tour, and I myself saw one entity making it, and I wanted to personally see if I could build it myself, because it's on tour, there's only one and non-identity, I want to make sure that there's other people building it, and I thought that would be helpful to the project, which it looks like a very exciting project. Just from the outset, it's a wallet, and great thing about Monero today is that now we have different options, different strokes for different folks. This wallet is one that's really geared to for more advanced users that really care about the privacy. But it's in a real slick UI. It's not something that I think a lot of people would have problems working. But right now, it might take a little extra time setting up. It has some extra features that you might not see, but you don't see in other wallets. And it also simplify some things that make it really more privacy focused.
So tell us more. What are the major differences? And is this a fork of something else, or?
So the origination of it, there is, I'd say if it was closest to a fork, it's not really a fork. It's kind of the successor to Shroom Wallet, which was also a new wallet not long ago. And then the main dev disappeared for that. So some of the devs that were working on that decided to create a successor to it, mostly based on Monerojo, and they included some features that they recommended to Monerojo, but weren't quite getting implemented. So they decided to take it on and do it themselves.
And so Shroom Wallet, when it originally was created, what was the purpose of that versus Monerojo? Like, what were the major tweaks?
Well, I guess the main things that we see now, I'm not super familiar with Shroom Wallet as I am with Enon, but with Enon, what we get is basically a stripped down kind of sleek version of of a UI with mandatory Tor connections or I2P. And it also has no third-party services, so it won't convert to fiat or have any exchanges or any third party whatsoever. But the idea being that your IP is protected, your data is protected. And it's not to say other wallets don't do that, but this is mostly focused on doing it in the most closed black box kind of way that it can.
Very cool. And so is it in Android form? I mean, is it just...
Right.
How are people currently using this wallet? And then what is the vision?
So the way that you get it is that either have the binaries on the main website that are released in different versions. It's also now on an F-Droid repository, and you can get the F-Droid repository. It's a separate repository you have to add to get that. And you could also access the source code on the site and build it yourself if you prefer to do it that way as well. And that's something that I'm going to be doing and reporting my results on, just to have another person say, hey, I've been doing this build, it's working, or anything I notice, any bugs I fix, that sort of thing. I have an account for contributing where I can now on the source to the source repo. Now they've unleashed the probably the biggest feature of all. Well, there's more things coming. They got policy mnemonics. They have coin control coming. These are things that you don't see. You see maybe in Feather Wallet. So if you like Feather Wallet on desktop, this is going to be slowly adding features similar to that. But being a mobile wallet, it's not going to be really clunky. Really, it's going to have it more wherever they're able to do it in a slick way. It seems like. That's what they've been doing so far. And the big feature they just released as of yesterday is something that there's been a lot of excitement about with Vera Ujo, the sidekick feature that raised a whole bunch of funds. They actually delivered it yesterday in their own version and two separate wallets. It's one's a view-only wallet version and one's called Nero. So it's Anna Nero, and the Anon wallet is the main wallet that does everything. Mm-hmm. The Nero wallet is view only, and what this allows you to do is put the Anon wallet on a separate Android device entirely, and that you close off from network connections, and using animated QR codes, there's a quick four-step process that takes less than 2 minutes, allows you to create those air gap transactions, set it back, and now you have the ability to have basically a great hardware wallet with just using this app, if you like using it that way. So that's now available.
And that's basically a fork of the side. What do they call it? Sidekick?
It's not actually a fork. That was one of the features that their devs had proposed to Monero Ujo before they decided to endeavor on Sidekick. So they've worked on this on their own. It's a completely separate effort.
Oh, yeah. They had built that inside. Monero Ujo basically adopted it from that. I didn't realize. Okay.
Well, maybe the idea. I think they're separate development efforts. They are separate development efforts. So Monero Ujo has been, they raised the money and they've been working on this Sidekick feature.
Yeah.
But separate, Anon wallet has gone out and developed it on their own because they wanted it. They already wanted it. They wanted it for their wallet. They recommended it to one wallet, and then at the same time they went and pursued it on their own.
Is Sidekick up and running on Monero Ujo yet? I guess it's
not.
No.
Okay. No. We're still waiting on that. So that's why it's big news that it's we now people wanted this for, you know, there's been a lot of demand for this.
Yeah,
and now it's available.
I love this concept. I love the idea. It's very elegant.
Right.
Yeah, let's not miss attribute though, because I think Monero Ujo did come up with the idea. I just don't want to, you know, and obviously anybody that wants to come up and, you know, talk about things and make sure we're not putting wrong in. Ultimately though, that's amazing. So this, what is it called?
Anonero.
These names, man. I don't know. They don't roll off the tongue. Anonero.
You want to show off that feature?
Yeah, let's show it off. There's a video. This is a live feature. So what you're going to see is on the right, that's going to be the one that's connected to the internet. That's the one that's your hot wallet. or it's going to be, in this case, maybe it's going to be Nero, but it's your phone that's connected, and then you're going to have your, on the left, it's going to be your AirGap phone.
That's it.
All right, let's play.
You see it there. It's a four-step process. See the, you see those animated QR codes. Okay, so now we go back, and now your connected phone on the right will have what it needs. A little time. Okay, so confirm in there. Just waiting for, if you can't see it, those things are, those values down there are loading from the network. So that's your connected phone on the right. You see the value now changed on the left. It used to be having an additional one Monero in there. Now it has the unsigned TX that it's sending over to the AirGap phone.
What's happening now?
So it's using an animated QR to transfer the information with the signed TX. So now it's been, the signed TX was received, and now it's been broadcast to the network. So it's a four-step process, and this is actually the only instructional that I think is available thus far with my explanation.
Okay.
For using that feature. So that right there, you have now in your Nero wallet, if you broadcast that, and maybe what you did just now is you broadcast some spending money to the Anon wallet in your connected phone. So you moved it from cold storage to your hot wallet, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So yeah, end result is you have your cold storage wallet, which is running on an Android phone, and then you have your hot wallet running on an Android phone. And every time you go to make a transaction with your hot wallet, you have to basically sign it from the cold wallet, correct?
Yes. Yeah. It's, and what you can do is, and I hope I didn't confuse it by saying you can also have an Anon wallet as a separate spending money. So you could also send it to anywhere from your cold wallet. That Nero wallet lets you send it anywhere. Something that I would personally like to use in preference is when I'm moving something from my cold wallet, I'd like to move, you know, maybe a little bit of spending money to my hot wallet. That's not going to take that amount of time, those steps that I just did, which is great for moving it from a cold wallet. It's only 2 minutes, but if you're just making regular transactions throughout the day, you probably want a little spending money in your pocket to have for quicker transactions.
Yeah. This is great, man.
It is super awesome.
Yeah. Tux, have you played around with this at all?
No, I just took a look at it last night because I think I'd only heard of it this week. I'm downloading the Git source right now. And because everything's only on Tor, you have to use Tor to pull that too. So it's taking a little while, but
sure. Let's give you an instruction on that. Actually, it's pretty quick. I mean, there's a question in the room. Is it a Trezor ledger replacement? Yes, absolutely. So your spare Android device is what replaces that hardware device. And so yeah, it is a little tricky, and I don't think there's instructions. Here's exactly how you do it, and it doesn't take. It's very quick. You might be familiar with the Invisible app, with the Z that connects you to Tor and ITP. What you want to do is download that app and then go up into the upper right-hand menu where you could see the mode where it says VPN mode or proxy mode. Choose the proxy mode. You don't want to put everything through through Tor probably in this instance. And it's built for the proxy. So once you've done that, then you can go to the left-hand menu up in the upper left, and it'll let you go down to your Tor settings, and then from there you can select apps that use Tor. And when you do that, just select Anon and Nero, and that'll allow you to then from there, you just go ahead over to your Anon app and check the settings, and by default, the ports that are already set up, should all work, so that after a few seconds you'll see that that proxy is connected, and that'll let you know that it's working correctly. Hopefully, cool. That's simple enough. Yeah, was that clear? Did you have any questions about that?
No, that's pretty clear. For me, I was just probably going to install Tor for my distros repositories, but because of the type of OS I'm using, I have to reboot if I install a system package. But yeah, that's cool. I've never heard of that before. Interesting.
So just a dumbed down version for people like me. So I could go on my Graphene phone and I could download this wallet relatively easily using F-Droid right now.
Yeah. Yes, but you'll need the Onion repository. address to do so. And in order to that, you'll want some connection to Tor. So what might be best is to first have some, use Tor browser to do that, get great connection. Also use the Invisible app. It's something I think Cakewell promotes as well. Using that. Also, you could also use Orbot. That's another one that will work, but you don't get I2P with that as an option for nodes.
Oh, so does this have a built-in? It probably doesn't have a built-in Tor proxy. You have to, like you said, use Orbot.
Yes. Okay. Yep. So you just need an app to set up a Tor proxy. And that's what I just described with the Invisible app. You just set up some kind of app that'll be your Tor proxy. And then it's trying to connect to its own IP at port 9050 and for something that for ITP. So which are the default ports. You don't need to do anything there unless you have custom settings.
Nice. I like how like everything, all the content for it is strictly over Tor. Like this is the most Anon Monero wallet from the developer side I've seen. It is very hardcore.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I kept clicking on the link. People are sending it around and Anonero.io. And I'm like, wait, what is going on? It just would redirect to an Onion link, Tor browser. So I had to go to a browser. And then I could look at it. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And they even have a self-hosted Giddy instance also over Tor, which is very cool.
Yep. It's all over Tor.
I'll probably for like extra security, to match the model of the Anon vault, I'll probably compile it separately over a dedicated Tails system or something like that. But I'll definitely check this out later today. It looks super, super cool.
Let me try to further understand. So like the security features and reasoning, why do you need to go through Tor even just for purposes of downloading the wallet itself?
Well, it's not isolated to that, but what it does do is it creates privacy for the isolation for the creators. They can't be tracked by IP, and also you can't be tracked by IP for going to that site. For instance, if you go to,
so now put on the list. Nobody even knows that you have the
it's
wallet.
In the spirit of Monero.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nobody knows you have it. Yeah. It's completely private. No one. Yeah, exactly. If you get it from Play Store, people will know.
Right, and nobody knows you. And also, for looking at it in terms of being a replacement potentially for a hardware wallet, I don't know if we're ready to recommend that. Right? Are we ready to say this is potentially a replacement for something like a Ledger? I don't know. Right? I'm sure there.
I mean, at least for something that was going to be open source or Monero. Like the best situation I can see using this, which is definitely what I'm going to try, is you have a spare Graphene OS Android phone or like a spare Pixel that's compatible to Graphene OS. Preferably a slightly newer one, but one that's still supported with security updates. Mm-hmm. And you can install this on that spare Graphene OS Pixel. In those phones with Graphene OS are really, really secure. Now you'll probably want to be able to do security updates on it. So at some point you will want to connect it to the internet. But as a separate device for Cold Wallet, yeah, I mean, that's pretty solid, right? Especially compared to the options we currently have, which are just questionable.
Right. And you've obtained it in a way where nobody knows you now have a Monero hardware wallet, right? It's not like you went and ordered a Ledger or Trezor.
Yep.
You anonymously obtained this open source app on your Graphene phone. Nobody knows you have it.
All those problems are wiped away that we've been seeing with the other wallets. And then also, no one knows you have it when you have it. You physically hold it in your hand and it's an Android phone. It's not a Trezor.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that part. That's why I was so excited about Sidekick when it was first, pitched. And I think it's a beautiful idea. Like I said, I'm sure there's some arguments as to why there's some shortcomings compared to a hardware that's dedicated, built just for holding your keys as opposed to using an old Android phone, right? Like steel man the art, what are the other sides here? Be the devil's advocate here. Why would we rather use a dedicated hardware device as opposed to an old Android phone?
For instance, your phone. I mean, if you're not using Graphene OS, especially, you actually do have hardware in there that is built to communicate. So you have the Bluetooth, you have the Wi-Fi in there, and some people are talking about stripping it out from their Android device so that it's extra secure and more like a hardware wallet. I'd also say that it's more, and one of the things that benefits is that there's a lot more for that goes on the investment and development of the security features for an Android phone versus what you could put into development for a hardware wallet, but it's also more obscure. And so when bugs come out for Android, that's, you know, it's got a larger surface attack area and it's got more people coming after it. So when something's discovered for that, well, that might also put your software have some vulnerability there that might not be discovered on some other device that not as many people are looking to attack.
Yeah, no, that side of it has always made sense to me. I'm looking for, yeah. So I guess so what are the major arguments against, right? Like, it all makes sense.
Overall,
Tickle's like great for that. Go ahead.
What'd you say, Tux?
Oh, I was just saying, I think a Graphene OS Pixel is like super good for that. Maybe even better than some of these, especially these proprietary like hardware alternatives, just because like, yeah, you've got some issues because it's a phone, right? It's got its own baseband modem. It's got these ways to connect. But with having Graphene OS on top of that, it's a lot more trustable. I mean, you don't have to trust it, right? It's like open source and stuff. And on top of that, the baseband with the modem, all that stuff is like actually isolated from the OS itself. So Graphene OS has control on top of it, but those parts basically are separate using something called IOMMU. And if it's offline, like that removes like 99% of potential security issues that you would have with something. And so the only thing that I would recommend, because like obviously you want to be super secure physically, and there has been things in the past for like things like PIN bypasses and all that, just like once a month, connect it to a known secure source for internet to update it for the Graphene OS security update. And if you do that, I think it would be pretty all right.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Somebody's saying Android can be a shit show, so beware.
It can be if you're using other phones. I wouldn't use anything other than a Pixel with Graphene OS.
Yeah, and to clarify a bit on that, Graphene describes the reason why they use Pixels for their development is because the Android open source program allows them to legitimately access all the hardware security features of the phone. Versus other phones that don't, you'd have to come up with some hack and might not be as reliable or sustainable. And that's why, yeah, that's really the real advantage is that you do get access to all the security, hardware security features, like secure chips and so forth.
Yeah, like I used to use Lineage OS on a Samsung phone like years ago. And in order to do that, you had to have the bootloader completely unlocked, which means that anybody could mess with the operating system. Essentially, they could flash something else, they could, you know, try to mess with it. Very dangerous. But on a Pixel, like DeMartian said, like Google provides this phone on purpose super open and available because they want this to be the reference phone for the developers.
Somebody's
is that what
saying,
you used, yeah, DeMartian? Do you use a Pixel, yeah, Graphene OS to do that? Nice.
That's my goal. My phone is currently OSE unlocked and I'm trying everything I can to break it.
Gotcha.
Oh yeah. Oh, I only unlocked, yeah. But I'm working on that. If I can hack it somehow.
Wait, what? Your phone is, you locked your phone?
It's a thing that came, I realized that you can't just get the Pixel from anywhere. Like if you get it from Verizon, then yeah, it causes problems.
Did you try calling them?
Yeah, I've done everything I think I can think of. Yeah.
And yeah, usually if it's a Verizon one, Verizon team like that, usually can't unlock them.
Tried upgrading to beta and then downgrading and seeing if that could hack all kinds of things.
Somebody's saying, what's the difference between this and Sidekick? I mean, yeah, technically, what I know they essentially do this, they're doing the same things. I guess the main difference is you guys already launched, right? But on a technical level, do you know like kind of what's happening? Is it the same basic concept or the Sidekick doing it in a different way?
Well, Sidekick's not quite out yet. One thing that I'm not sure that Sidekick's doing is the animated QRs like we just saw. They might be doing that, but that's something that Anonero had in mind from the start, and that's the way that they've been implementing it and did implement it.
Very cool. I see we have Andreas. I don't know what he means by T, but we can. You're welcome to jump up here, man, and you know, make sure we're properly talking about things in terms of Sidekick. Jump up. I think we saw, I saw Vic in the chat too. Vic, if you want to jump up when we do viewers on stage, please do. We can just have a general wallet discussion here. As always, everybody's welcome. But this is awesome. Love to see it, right? People spitting out new versions of wallets and meeting demand. So it sounds like this one is really geared toward just being a hardcore, super private, ideal way to use Monero wallet, like Monero only, right? With no extra bells and whistles that could possibly degrade your security or privacy.
Right. If you geek out on privacy and doing Monero is super private, then this might be the one that's for you.
Oh yeah, I like this. It looks super hardcore. I love it. I love it.
Here, Andreas is saying this is the same concept as Sidekick, but Sidekick works with Bluetooth instead of QR code. Okay, that's the major technical. Very cool, man. Who's the main dev?
The person is Anon, but it's not one person. It's a team. So you can get in touch with them on Telegram and the Telegram chat for the wallet and Anero.
Okay. So it's a team of people under one
username.
Okay. Very cool, man. And then what role, and basically you're helping out by kind of being the figure, the public facing
I told him I won't be their fluffy pony. No, I saw that these people are Anon, and people, it's been having so much talk underground, and so I just offered to talk about the futures. And I'm trying to help out where I can, yeah, but I'm not an official representative of the project to any capacity or anything like that.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. See if there's any other comments we want to throw up here. Nice. Awesome, man. D-Martian, anything else you want to bring up with regards to the wallet?
No, I think we covered the features and some basics on how people can get up and started, and yeah. I mean, the real devil's advocates might be in the comments of people coming up on stage or anyone else coming up.
Oh yeah. We'll open it up. We'll see if it gets a little rowdy around here. I think maybe what we could do is we could
get one of the news.
Yeah, or we could get people up on stage and then do the news with everybody. What do you think? You think that could work? And then we could get people's like comments on each story.
Yeah. I think you can handle it.
Yeah, let's try.
Especially since it's not prepared, you know. We don't get Tony this time.
Yeah, no Tony. And I don't want it to drag on too long, only because I gotta get out of here within like a half hour. So let's do viewers on stage, and let's see who wants to jump up right now and talk to D-Martian a little bit about the wallet and any concerns or comments they may have, and then we'll roll into the news. We'll start talking about, and we'll get everybody's comments on that.
All right, I'm running the viewers
on stage.
It's the viewers on stage segment. It's that time where we invite you, the viewers, up on stage to comment on anything you've heard so far today, ask the guest a question, or maybe talk about one of the news topics. Come on down.
All right. So anybody that wants to jump on, please do. Tux, if you could throw the link chat, the StreamYard link. Body, we can bring Body of Alaska Anon. There we go. Body, you want to come up? I don't know if he wants to come up. Vic, come up if you can.
All right, post the link.
Jump on if you can, if you don't mind. If you don't want to, no worries. So yeah, all right, we got Body, I saw you throwing some comments out there. What do you think of all this?
I think it's awesome to see new wallets being developed, especially especially that gets you onto Tor and I2P like automatically by default on Android. That's badass. I do think it's a bit of an underrated way of accessing crypto to have like a dedicated laptop or a dedicated cell phone that you don't do anything else on. Most of the attacks that happen, like even when you have kind of like some vulnerability in the underlying operating system, typically those are often theoretical, and you need some way to access that vulnerability, which is typically an application of some kind. Or you're on a website or running JavaScript or something like that. But if you don't do anything on a device except for use it for crypto, and then you isolate each of your crypto activities inside of a VM, like the chances of you getting pwned are just so low. Like so for example, if you wanted to buy some shitcoin or whatever, you could run a virtual machine. Like let's suppose you're running cubes on your laptop. You could run a virtual machine for cubes and then, or sorry, have run Cubes in your laptop, spin up a virtual machine for whatever shitcoin thing you're going to do. Could be running a node. You could be playing with whatever. Anything that's like compromised about that crypto should just be isolated to that virtual machine, because you're just reducing your attack surface so much. Mm. I think these hardware wallets are often problematic. We've seen multiple times where your personal information has gotten pwned with Ledger. We've seen where they like are making weird deals with governments and regulatory agencies to, and then they have to walk it back because it's so unpopular. I just think it's great to see another wallet being developed for Android that just gets you, like I said, onto Tor and ITP and all the stuff that the Demartian already said.
Not to shill the Nodo, but it would be cool to also be obviously running your own node, right? And then connecting to that via this wallet, I guess, would be the most ideal way to use it. Not that you need to use Nodo for that, but it makes it user-friendly, right? For people that want to get their own node up and running, and then they could connect to it with their wallet.
Yeah, sorry, it just needs something that works on. I think you have it. It's based on Ubuntu, right?
Yeah. Well, what would be the difference there? Why would that? I mean, how is it like with connecting to nodes from the wallet?
Connecting to nodes, it connect right away. Yeah, if you have it, it has no difference. You're perfect. You're set up to connect in to Nodo.
Beautiful. And but by default, you're connecting via Tor to any node, right?
So yeah, you're connecting. So here's what happens is when you set up the proxy, if you have Invisible, you have both ITP and Tor. Maybe if you have a ClearNet node or a Tor node, it'll connect through Tor to that node. If it's ClearNet, it'll go through. Yeah, so you're good. And then if it's ITP, it'll automatically switch that proxy for that node if you select the ITP node. So it's already built to do that. And in fact, it's even going to be when Sepphoris comes out, it's going to be even easier to do the steps that we just mentioned, because the first two of those four scans that we just showed won't be even necessary, but the last two don't need to be changed. They're already set for, they're Sepphoris ready.
Very cool, man. Very cool. How about things like, you know, is and down the line, you know, implementing like a light wallet server functionality into it, so you can, you know, more easily, quickly scan your blockchain, right? Is that something you got? Is it would that be aligned with the direction you're heading in, or would you guys see that as a potential?
I mean, I can't speak directly to that. It's not on the roadmap, but it doesn't seem like something that's misaligned with the direction at all. It seems like something that would work.
Especially since you're like forced to use Tor. Like sometimes if you have like a wallet, like a cold store, right? You haven't opened it in forever. You've got a ton of blocks to sync. If it's over Tor, it's going to be that way slower. So I could see a light wall in this scenario being even more effective.
Right, as long as it's right in a way where, you know, you're preserving your own view key and you're scanning it on your own. Very cool. You guys just got me thinking. Alaska Aina, what do you think? Oh, I don't know.
Maybe he's not here.
I assume Nick. Nick, what's going on, man?
Hey, Doug. Hey. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, guys. Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I heard you say my name, so I thought I'll jump on for a few seconds here. I mean, Demartian gave me a heads up without much detail, but I think it's great. We're so early, and keeping with the open source spirit, I think more development, the better. The more we share with each other and, you know, don't hold on to proprietary stuff. You know, I think all this helps Monero, so I'm all for it. More wallets, better. It helps Cake. Cake helps the other wallets. You know, I think it's all good for everybody. So I think it's wonderful. I didn't know about this sidekick type feature that this wallet has. I definitely want to check that out. That could be interesting. But you know, connecting to Tor, I mean, as you guys probably saw in Cake, we have that as a feature. You know, you can go in before connecting to any node. Mm-hmm. Now we have that advanced feature screen. You can do all that. But I fully get that somebody, you know, really hardcore people want a wallet that doesn't have those settings and has that just as default and no other option. So I totally get it. And I support it. I'll probably donate to it like I do to all Monero projects. So that's my two cents. I think it's
Vic,
great.
Vic is the best, man. Dude, you're amazing. We always appreciate your, you know, this has kind of been your take the entire time, right? As you've been involved in Monero, always open towards new projects, supporting people that are working on new things, even if it may potentially, you know, compete with you in some way, right? So, because I think you realize, you know, rising tide raises
exactly.
All ships, right?
So, exactly. And exactly. And if you look at it from a competitive standpoint, it keeps us on our toes. Right?
100%. 100%. So, you know, and so
everyone's striving for something better. Yep.
Go ahead, I would say like probably most people using Cake aren't using the Tor feature because of usability issues like we were bringing up, right? Because it does like Tuxedo was saying, right? It does things would take longer, right? I mean, so there's different strokes for different folks, right? So like if you want the super pure, super private, secure way of using Monero, you might be, you know, sacrificing some usability and convenience along the way.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from a privacy standpoint, yeah, in Cake, you have to be running another app. You have to be running Orbot, for example, you know? So there's definitely trade-offs on both sides.
Andres, what's going on, man?
Hello, how are you?
Good, good.
Okay. I'm sorry, but Monerotopia is it's every time is on my Saturday lunch. So everybody's doing noises in the other way or making lunch, actually preparing lunch. So
no worries.
Sorry for that. But this is like the meeting of the wallets again.
Yeah. Yes.
It's good. <Fine. laughs> Collaborate.
Yes, of course. Perfect. Of course. Big knows that. I know that. And well, maybe the anons know that, but we don't know who they are. So they are anons.
Maybe it's you guys. Maybe it's you and Vic secretly, you know, building another wallet on the side.
I cannot confirm nor deny that we are behind. We are not behind Anonujo or whatever. Anonero.
Yes. Like Monerujo, I still struggle with that one. I'm probably saying it wrong.
Saying Monerujo because it's Esperanto, and now it's stuck with me. But nobody speaks Esperanto, so it doesn't make any sense for nobody. So what? It's not even Monerujo, whatever. So kind of quickly, yeah, I already typed it, but this is basically the same idea as long as I can tell. I haven't tried a Monero wallet or either the Psychic a non-Nero thing that they did. So I don't know how it works, but it's basically the same idea. Psychic actually works since more than a year ago. It's not public because of two reasons.
Running and working. Okay, I wasn't.
It's sure. Not public. It's not public yet. You cannot use it. We used it. It works. So the proof of concept was the first thing that we got it working. I mean, we got it working before asking money for it, for the development. So everything else has been from the UX side. I mean, to make it easy for everybody to use it and to get it into the interface of Monerujo and all that. But basically, technically, the transaction and all of that works. I don't know. I'm supposed they are the same people behind Anonero. But we have requests many times in the past for why aren't we not using animated QR codes, which are really technically are gapped between two devices. But since the traffic is encrypted, Bluetooth is safe enough, in our opinion, is safe enough for us to just make basically an offline signing of a transaction. So you don't need an extra layer of air in between just to sign the transaction. And it doesn't make it more secure. But of course, the devil is in the details. We can argue about that for forever.
Right.
But it's like super secure enough. But the thing that we like more about Bluetooth than the animated QR codes is because you don't have to do that back and forth all the time.
It's probably way quicker and a bit more instant.
It's super quick. It's very quickly. And it feels just like a ledger. I mean, it's just hit 10. And for example, in our prototype, we can still see all the different, you get a light and a signal for every piece of information is going back and forth. Mm. And you can see like a Christmas tree. It's just like a lot of info is going back to sign a transaction. So that's why compared to Bitcoin, for example, that you can just use one QR code for an offline transaction, Monero is more interactive. So that's why probably why Anonero has to do all the back and forth, like from with device scanning the other one's animated QR scan, and then doing the other way around, and then doing the other way around. I think they did it 4 times or something like that. So, of course, if you want that amount of privacy or security, it's just 1 minute. I mean, it's nothing serious. And I sincerely like that we have two approaches.
Beautiful, yeah.
And even better than now we have one approach that is actually live and people can use.
Yeah. So wait. You kind of I kind of missed though. So then why isn't it live? Why? I mean, you guys are ready. You've been using it behind the scenes. What's the holdup?
Basically, that we are just three, and we have to all the time do other tiny things to keep the app running and running properly. So the big things get pushed back and back and back.
So it's not like 100. You don't feel that it's at
yeah.
The point
we need to make the whole like the user facing stuff. We have to use it. We have to do it because the way that it works now is basically a custom Monerujo APK that you put in the other device, and you have to actually know exactly how to make it work with the other one. Mm-hmm. But you have to make it super simple because in our experience, I do most of the support for Monerujo. If it's not super, 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 super clear and simple, people get things wrong all the time in very creative ways. And since we are dealing with people's money here, we want to be super, super, super safe. And the other thing that we wanted to be super sure is to get outside eyes on the code, on the implementation, on everything, to be super sure that it's super safe. Because we already encounter, for example, in MoneroCon or Monotopia, people using Monerujo with very big amounts of money.
Yeah.
that maybe you should say, well, maybe it's not a mobile wallet. It's totally safe, but it's, well, okay, it's people use Monerujo for a lot of money. So if we put enough, like a hardware kind of wallet, I'm guessing that people are going to use it for even more or larger amounts of money.
Don't want to be, oops, you lost like half of your money because of a bug in our software.
Yes. I want to believe that those people have a lot of money, that the money that we saw is just a very tiny percent of their money. But otherwise, yes, I've seen people casually using mobile wallets with a lot of Monero. So we want to be extra careful on that side as well, because saying Harbor wallet is like saying, yeah, put all your money in there. It's for big sums. And okay. We are not a company. We don't have a legal team or whatever. And we want to be super sure that everybody's funds are super safe. But
that's
yeah, cool.
That's awesome. I like how, for security privacy reasons, I hate Bluetooth, but like, I like that you did want it with a different direction, that, you know, both these wallets have different directions. Cause like, then we can see different implementations of the same thing. And like you said, the stream's encrypted, right? I mean, for most things, that is the only concern is like the MAC address. So like, if you're trying to do it in an anonymous place, right, that could leave you out. But if it's just you're doing it at home, mm-hmm. then it's like, that's perfect. But is there a way I can compile a build with like a flag or something that has that turned on so I can try it? Or is it just like the code's not even on the GitHub yet?
It's not on the GitHub yet.
Okay.
But we can look into it. For special people, maybe.
Is it the
kind of confirm or deny
that, yes. Get you going now. Now it's like you gotta get the sidekick out there. The people want it, man. They want it.
Yeah, we are not very competition driven, so it could take forever anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I super agree with Big that the more the better, and it's just mm-hmm. it's not just saying. If I had to add something else to that phrase, would be the more different, the better.
Yes.
The thing that some people like to joke about, like, oh, Monerujo versus Cake, this is shit, this is not, this is whatever. But the thing that I like is that both wallets, and the same with Stack Wallet right now, you can really tell, and with time, they look more and more different. And they all the little design decisions or the little business decisions or whatever, they keep piling up. So every wallet is more and more different with time, I think so. So people have a lot of choice and there is a lot of room, I think.
What I love the most is the fact that we don't just have a lot of like, you know, super different choices. Like they're all good choices. They're all like open source, you know, good made software. Yeah. It's not like we're choosing between, you know, like Graphene OS and like Apple or something, right?
I think that that's something good about Monero as a community, as a whole, because we have a, like a, the barrier of entry for being an accepted Monero wallet is super high. I mean, you need to be fully open source. There are some things that, that don't fly on the Monero community if you don't do it that way, which I think is good. And then after that, it really is just not only a matter of, I don't know, UI taste. I like this is prettier or less prettier than the other. There are some, perhaps, I don't know, some wallet decides that wants to be super comfortable for newcomers. So you have, I don't know, instant exchange. I mean, instant rate conversion between fiat and Monero. And then, for example, us in Moneruyo, until you hit that you want to, until you manually hit something that you want to see the price in fiat, Moneruyo doesn't ping anything. So it's basically no third party whatsoever until you actually do something on the app that you want to connect to a third party. We don't just ping just in case or to make the experience seamless. And then you get an Onero on the other side, which is super. No, you cannot even do it if you want to. It's just Tor. And we know that the Tor experience for with outside nodes is basically a lot worse than with just clear nodes. But if your security scenario makes sense for you, okay, you have the choice. In Moneruyo, we usually are pro-choice in that regard. So you can do it both ways. But the trade-off of that is that it's not super clear which one is the best or the way that you should be using it. It's just up to you.
Makes sense. And now that, you know, now there's a lot of different little options. People can choose what they want based on what they're looking for. I want to keep this moving along. Tux, you want to start to, we'll do the news. Andreas, I don't know if you can hang around a little bit or if you got to go eat lunch, but if you can, please try to stick around. Body and D Martian too. And we'll just kind of try to run through some of the big news stories. We'd love to get your little tidbits reaction.
I can come back in 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. We'll be here. All right. Tux.
My browser is glitching out. Give me 1 second.
All right.
I don't know why, but any Chromium-based browser, Linux, just kind of bugs out.
And anybody else that wants to jump up on stage, you know, please do. You still can. StreamYard link, then we'll bring you up here. You'll see the StreamYard link in the chat. You got to click on it. You don't need to create an account or anything. Then we can pull you up here to show your video, although we like it. Oh, did we lose Tux?
Uh-oh.
I know, we lost our man in the driver's seat here. Oh, he's back.
He is.
It didn't like me moving these tabs around.
I have three different browsers because it seems like some edge case will always pop up where one browser doesn't work. So I run ungoogled Chromium as like my primary browser. But then I've got Firefox and another one called Falcon. It's like part of the
I've used Falcon. System. Yeah.
Oh, cool. You're the first person I've ever met that.
Oh, I've used like all the browsers.
Like the meme.
See if I can share the. Ta-da! All right. Let me start from the top with the news links, or you want me to go straight down to the one you sent me?
Oh well, let's play the news. Go ahead and play the news segment if you can.
Gotcha. All right.
Let's gear everybody up, and then you just go through the links.
And now for our weekly news segment.
Now it's official.
All right.
All right, what do we got, Tux?
So we've got a decent amount. We get a decent... I had these all... I literally had these all open, and my browser is being weird, so I had to close it.
all right, just go one more. We'll see what we get. What's the first one?
First one from Drunk Dial Me. Can anyone help me set up a donation page so I can continue this Monero merchant onboarding effort that I started? I started doing this for some proof of concept pictures, but it's proven extremely effective and it's working for jumpstart community parallel economies. So we've got a guy here paying for Monero with a QR code for his gym. And if I remember correctly, Drunk Dial Me, guess who's back? He started an effort where he's giving people a little bit of a Monero as like an incentive for them to go out and onboard merchants to use Monero, and okay. He will gift people a certain amount of Monero. If it was, I can't remember if it was him or if it was somebody else. I think it was
as long as then they have to go. They have to go spend it at like a merchant and like film it, make a video of it.
Basically, yeah. I don't know if it was him because he made this tweet.
And then the guy who's spending it, Christian, he's one of the guy. He's from that town in Argentina where they're doing the gambling with Monero, and they got the soccer field going. And I think he is the one who has the butcher shop that accepts Monero.
Oh, is it him? Oh. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, so very cool. Drunk Dial Me, you're always welcome to, as you know, to jump up on the show. I know you like to go on the spaces. We haven't really been doing that much. Try to jump on the StreamYard one of these days so we could hear more about this effort. Looks like it's working out, though.
And we've got GrapheneOS. So GrapheneOS, I'm going to open this on this thing. There we go. So GrapheneOS recently, their donation PayPal was permanently locked out. Their account got like suspended for like no reason at all, because that's just a PayPal thing, right? PayPal just loves that. PayPal loves to screw with people. And people are, you know, talking about like the other methods. And of course they accept XMR. They've accepted Monero for quite a while now, but they came out. Bright was asking what the ratio of XMR to Zcash would be. And they reply basically here that the historical is around mainly Bitcoin, with Ethereum and Monero being equal, and then like no Zcash. But recently they've had like exclusively most of their donations come from Monero. So the GrapheneOS project primarily gets more of their donations from Monero than Bitcoin and Ethereum. So out of all the coins you can use, it's mostly Monero, which makes sense, which is cool, but it makes sense for something like this where people would want to use Monero to donate to them. But if you want to donate to the GrapheneOS project, you don't have to use PayPal. You don't have to use a card or any of that. You can just use nice, easy Monero.
And so, but they were accepting PayPal and then they got locked out?
Yeah, they had a nonprofit PayPal account. They'd went through all the work setting it up and everything, getting it all legit. And for just, you know, seemingly no reason, their account just got locked out.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, PayPal's like the worst. It's been like that for a long time.
Beautiful to see that people are making Monero donations. So you're saying that's become the primary way for people to donate right now to Graphene.
It's one of the bigger ways people are donating. Awesome. Is with Monero.
That's what we want to see, guys. I mean, that's like the prime use case for Monero, right? To use it to you know, in a censorship resistant way, donate to some cause you believe in, right? Especially like a cause that further aligns with the you know, privacy tech. Go ahead, Body, what were you saying?
Well, I think we've seen this before with Tails as well. Like, Tails received most of their donations from Monero as well. It's just like every time we have some kind of like really key piece of privacy infrastructure, Monero people step up. Like, we're outnumbered by the Bitcoiners, who knows, right? Maybe 100-1.
Mm-hmm.
But Monero people are apparently funding.
Yeah, it's like, always Monero really people stuff. That actually like,
right.
Yeah.
And then like recently with Tor, right? Wasn't donations, but we, you know, Tor, I guess, right, developed a solution using RandomX, right, to solve their issues with the DDoS, right? Another, yeah. I feel like another example. Monero community stepping up, working together with other privacy tech communities. Nice to see. Meanwhile, you have the Human Rights Foundation, which I think to this day still doesn't accept Monero for their donation. Their story.
Yeah, which is just kind of crazy.
we can keep things positive. all right, what do we got next?
So next we've got WorldCoin. We've got this long thing about WorldCoin, and I don't know that much about WorldCoin. I've just kind of seen it. Do you know more about it? Can you speak on that, Doug?
I mean, I don't know details. I think I know just as much about it as most of everybody else that's on Twitter. You know, WorldCoin came out a while ago, right? It was proposed a while ago. And I know they started trying to onboard people with these orbs that basically scan your iris, your eye, right? And then it creates, I think, a unique ID based on that scan. Basically a unique wallet, essentially. I don't know if anybody has more details, but that's kind of my basic understanding of it. It's that they're essentially onboarding people onto this, what they claim to be a way to be identified on the internet anonymously. So you scan your eye. It's kind of like a proof of person, right? So they're using these orbs to prove that you're a person and that you're one individual, and then you're given an ID based on that, supposedly in a zero knowledge proof manner. So then they don't collect, you know, according to them, they're not collecting any image of your eye. They're not keeping it in a database. They're at that point, I guess, issuing this unique ID based on the scan. And then if you went to scan again, I guess it wouldn't create another ID. It would be like, you know, ID has, you know, they have some way of determining, right, that it's already been created, so you can't be reissued. And yeah, sounds terrifying. But I mean,
talking about the fact that, yeah, it's using your iris, but like it shouldn't be like an issue privacy wise, but there still can, you know,
I think Eric Wall is kind of giving the positive take on it, saying like, or I don't know if he's trolling here. I'm not exactly sure. I'm not following. I don't know detail, but I think he's kind of saying like, because all the Bitcoiners are coming out, obviously, against this. Obviously, a lot of Monero people as well. But I think he's maybe pointing out that maybe it works as intended. And it's actually, while it sounds scary as hell, that maybe it's allowing people to create an identity that can then be used on the internet to prove that they're an individual person without giving up.
But it's doing almost like a psyop for CBDC.
Without saying who they are, right? I mean, it's pretty cool in concept, this idea of proof of person, right? Because I mean, then you could have voting, right, where people are voting with these IDs that were issued, and then theoretically you don't know who they are, but you know that they're, you know, it's one person, one vote. It's interesting. I don't know, what do you guys think? You guys are more,
what
more
you're describing to me. I mean, I know it started like 3 years ago, like in 2019, I think, but it didn't unleash until just a couple days ago, this past week. That's what the news part was. People are lining up for this orb thing. It's only in a few locations, but people are lining up, it seems.
I think they're getting crypto for it too, right? So it's it's gamified, in the same way kind of like that Bitcoin is, right? So I guess it's awarding the early adopter, you know, get in soon, get in fast, right? And you get your, I don't know, even know what they call their crypto, I guess orb coin. Whatever the hell it is, or WorldCoin. So yeah, you get your crypto when you scan your eye, and then I guess that kind of gives you a head start, right? And then you know you're then motivated to get others to go out and do the same thing, and the value of your crypto, you know, kind of network effect, the hope that the value of yours goes up as everybody goes and runs and gets their WorldCoin. It's kind of scary that it's working so well, right? I mean, I think people are lining up for this.
Well, this sounds of free orbs it almost sounds like what you're saying is that your iris contains the secret key or the seed phrase, basically, to be regenerated on the fly with an orb each time, so that it can then use Zcash like $0 proofs for transacting information. First and foremost about your identity, but also maybe with this world coin. Is that what?
Yeah, the summary? Your iris, your identity becomes the private key, the generation of the private key. Like that is the, you know.
But the scare is that, like, yeah, you're using your iris, right? This has to be like tippy top in terms of security and privacy, and you know, imagine somebody else comes along and they force you to unlock your coins with your eyes, right?
I don't think that's the case, and I could be wrong because I'm not super educated on this, but I don't think it's that your iris generates the private key. I think it's just that some kind of hash-like function, they take a hash-like function of the unique scan of your iris. I think it needs to be somewhere within like 10% the same each time it's scanned. I don't know, there's some kind of tolerance there. And then they take a hash of that, and that's the thing that they use to generate the private key. But it's not like you're not necessarily generating the same private key each time. Like your iris isn't the private key. It's just that proves you're a unique person, and then that gives you the opportunity to generate a private key. But I think there's still randomness injected into that key generation moment. I could be wrong about that, but
yeah, and I think you could then, you know, generate infinite sub address, like sub keys based on that too as well. I mean, I don't know, we don't know enough about it, but what are the doomsday scenarios here, or is this potentially a good thing? Are we just assuming that this is like super evil and it's going to inevitably, you know, be something where we now have this company that has everybody's individual data. They know who are they then eventually connecting their real world identity with
it's possible. I think the doomsday scenario here is that the hardware is actually compromised, because the problem is, like, it seems like the cryptography is pretty solid. Like, I think people are really starting to verify ZK stuff more and more. So the cryptography seems okay. They've got a lot of open source code. All of that seems okay, according to, I don't know, the smart guy's trademark. But the hardware is not open, and we can't verify that the hardware is in fact doing what the software says. So the doomsday would be that everybody, like, onboards to this thing, but the whole time the hardware had a backdoor that they were collecting everyone's information. You could hypothetically reveal your real identity as well, even if the hardware was fine. Like, let's pretend that everything was great. Mm-hmm. So you've got this one key, you've got this identity. And unless you're doing really good at generating sub addresses and doing smart stuff and all the hoop jumping, like with Bitcoin, having a persistent Bitcoin address eventually reveals your identity, because you're just, you know, eventually you do something that really reveals personal identifying information. Then all those transactions you did related to that address suddenly become known. So that's a problem there. There's other problems as well that,
yeah, that's the scenario I was thinking. No. It's kind of like the Bitcoin scenario, right? Like, it's synonymous, but then as soon as your real world identity is associated with a transaction.
John, it's burned.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing that I was just about to say, that even if you trust everything that they say, even if they have the best intentions whatsoever, it all works. For what I've read, it works just like that. You get an hash of the iris. It's not the real thing. And you can generate, like, sub addresses of sub accounts that are not linked between them. So they are based on the same hash, but you cannot link one account with the other. But they are not unlimited. That's what I've read, to avoid some spamming issues, because they don't have the figs or whatever. Since you don't have, like, a economic limit to not spam the network, you won't have, like, infinite accounts with your iris. So if you don't have infinite accounts, you'll run into the Bitcoin problem mm-hmm. very soon. If you actually use the thing, even if you are pay very close attention to, I have, like, a friend's wallet and then a work wallet and then my shady stuff wallet or whatever, your identity will be revealed by your usage mm-hmm. very soon. And you cannot change your iris afterwards.
There's no going back. I don't know, man. I don't know. And then also we have to note, right, the guy behind it, right? Sam Altman, the ChatGPT guy, you know, like one of the main players in the AI space. And it's all part of this, like, AI is going to take over. Humans are going to be useless. The only thing we're able to be to contribute to society is our data, which the AI will then use. And then, like, WorldCoin, I mean, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, but I think it's
kind of like a diffuse coin
will pay us, right?
Yeah, like, no, that's UBI, what it is,
right? The universal basic income, right? So WorldCoin will be how we get paid and how we survive as UI runs everything for us and it pays us for our data and society.
I mean, it seems almost like a CBDT type, like, PSYOP, right?
That's like an automated CBD where AI is controlling us all. And, like,
it's an opt-in CBD, yes.
Yeah, what concerns me is that the internet and technology and human societies tend to have inertia. And if we get allow that leverage point in now where it's your iris, there's no going, and that has, if that takes off in any capacity, there's no telling where it can go. And when people with power decide they want to do something differently, then they're probably going to be able to more easily if we start going down that path now.
It's going to take off, man. You're going to have every Joe Schmo. I mean, the Monero community is a unique group, right? We're not getting online to get our iris scan for WorldCoin. But pretty much anybody who's not in the Monero community will be doing just that. Yeah, you know, like the Joe Schmo that you know in your life, the people that you come across, they'll be talking about this. We'll be saying, hey, you know, did you go and get some of your free WorldCoin? Why not? You know, like it's going to be like the why not? You might as well just do it. I don't know.
It will get tricky. Even if you forget the whole coin thing, the whole crypto thing, without the currency, I think that the goal of solving, I'm very conflicted about the goal of, I've seen some of the projects like Proof of Humanity on Ethereum as well, and some others. The goal of identity, solving like decentralized identity in the internet, one person, one vote, all that. It looks like the best goal possible, but then even conceptually you run into some issues, some dangers. So I'm not really sure, even if everything works all right. For example, we've seen with COVID and the permissions and to travel some other place, you can see that, well, if you have enough big of a critical mass using WorldCoin, even if it's worth not much, but just for the identity purposes, next time you get something like, well, it's not mandatory, but if you have your work ID associated with your WorldCoin, you just go faster through the airport, for example, or you can go to this and this place. So instead of getting people for the money, you would get it from the convenience, right? I'm always about convenience. Or, yeah, well, if you don't have your war ID, you have to wait 2 weeks to get this permission to travel, for example. They make it cumbersome and more until you say, fuck it, I will just do it anyway. And then you are the minority. You are the crazy person that asked not to go through the X-ray scan and you have to touch your balls. You're the weirdo, right? So now you're the normal and then you are the weird person with the tinfoil hat. And so, they want your data. But besides that, I think is a discussion worth having. If we want, because it looks like the best thing ever, let's have decentralized internet online voting with just one person, one vote. It looks like great and utopian. And then you think in the real world and you say, well, how does it look? Because if you don't have decentralized government, for example, you can have all the decentralized identity that you want, but that identity is going to be used for centralized decisions or centralized policies anyway. So
and then you have this WorldCoin mob mentality, right? Like where this direct democracy via WorldCoin, where it's just like you have this large group of WorldCoin users that are voting and, you know, where the majority wins, which, you know, that's a scary scenario, right? I mean, the founding fathers of this country certainly considered that scenario and tried to avoid it. We don't necessarily want direct democracy where it's one person, one vote rules the day for every issue. You quickly create a scenario where minority opinions are completely washed out of society.
There's still the possibility of selling IDs, of purchasing votes, of getting hacked, printing 3D fake irises to, you know, to get fake people. Like, all of those are still risks.
Imagine that the way that Bitcoin keeps being, I mean, the only way that Bitcoin keeps being 21 million fixed is because all the people that already have Bitcoin don't want it to be bigger because they lose their purchasing power. Right. So imagine if more than 50% of the population has already WorldCoin, they're going to vote for candidates, or even if it's a liquid democracy or the democracy, they're going to vote for laws that make it more expensive or illegal or whatever else that is not WorldCoin. Right. Because it's in their best interest to do
yes,
that.
Yes.
So we are so happy that we invented like online alignment of decisions by greed, and now we are seeing the dark side of the whole thing.
I don't know, guys. Like
super unnecessary, you know, the whole WorldCoin thing. It's just like it seems like it's trying to solve problems that don't exist.
For me, what's crazy is like all these things that, you know, we thought about in the 80s and the 90s growing up. I mean, I don't know. I'm a little older than, you know, some of us are kind of maybe in the same bracket. Like all these things are coming into fruition now at the same time, right? Like this is something we would theorize, like a world coin, a direct democracy, AI,
aliens.
And it's all happening at the same time. It's just
Should I show this clip? I have open right now. Let me know if you can hear it.
Something I can't discuss.
Okay, I can't ask when you think this occurred. If you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my new biologic game with some of these.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologic?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness? Like, how would that be determined?
The specific documentation, I would have to talk to you in a skiff.
Okay. So, and you may or may not be able to answer my last question, and maybe we get into a skiff at the next hearing that we have, but who in the government, either what agency, sub-agency, what contractors, who should be called into the next hearing about UAPs, either in a public setting or even in a private setting? And you probably can't name names, but what agencies or organizations, contractors, et cetera, do we need to call in to get these questions answered, whether it's about funding, what programs are happening, and what's out there?
I can give you a specific cooperative and hostile witness list of specific individuals that were in those.
And how soon can we get that list?
I'm happy to provide that to you after the hearing.
Super. Thank you. And I yield back.
This guy looks like such a douchebag psyop motherfucker. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't trust
him. No, yeah, I'm literally saying, dude, the whole alien thing, it's just like, I honestly think it's just a psyop for more invasive surveillance and draconian measures.
Open up that tweet, though, Tuck Skin.
Oh, yeah, let me.
Your take was actually pretty great, is what you guys are saying. Tux, can you read it? Just a little farm.
My new favorite phrase is, I cannot discuss this in a public setting. It's my new catchphrase.
Wow, aliens, won't it be fun to watch people believe whatever some former intelligence agents say with no evidence and then panic and demand that all of humanity bands together to make a global government just like in Star Trek and Mass Effect because of the aliens? I agree.
Seems like the most likely scenario right now. I don't know.
No, yeah, I think it's a psyop just for, like, you know, to do a bunch of crazy stuff in the name of, air quote, national security. Like, that just literally seems like it, right? It's the next thing that they're doing.
Yeah. No, you know what I really think? I think they are kind of scared that they are not progressing fast enough. And now they need to use some technology that has to look like we invented it. But it makes no sense because we actually got it from aliens. So now they have to say, well, maybe it's time to disclose that, yeah, we actually got in from aliens, because we're about to invent fusion or something like that, and we cannot explain how we did it. So let's just say it was aliens.
Alien technology. Yeah, then she goes on to say, if you think the imminent massive increase in the Space Force budget will be used to deal... Oh, wait, stop scrolling for a second. Will be used to deal with these alleged UFOs and not to build a satellite surveillance grid to power the digital ID CBDC technology to technocracy to control everybody, you might be gullible. Sorry, I can barely see. But that's a pretty good take. Pretty good point, right? Like, it's just
a lot of people
believe
in aliens, believe whatever you want. My point is, this is happening in Congress right now for a specific purpose, and critical thinking is important. It's a controlled release of info with an ulterior motive.
Yeah. Just to, you know, rally everybody up, raise the budgets of these departments that are dealing with the aliens, right? Exposing these departments, but then also vastly improving their budgets overnight, right? They would probably be the most funded departments overnight if this were, you know, alleged to be true, and they started showing it. I mean, we need to dump money in there to deal with the aliens, whether it's...
The aliens are officially no longer cool because the government says they exist.
Right, they're security risk, a national security risk. Everybody dump all your money into this if you want to survive. Who's going to say no to that?
Look at the creator of the Space Force. You might love him or hate him, but if there was one person that was president that was going to call up and ask somebody, like, where's the aliens at? Where are the aliens? That would be Donald Trump. And during his time, I don't imagine him not keeping his mouth shut about that entirely. If there was something to say, you'd find some way to say something.
Right, yeah.
He's the Major Jason Elder created.
Mouth shut. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, buddy.
I was just going to make a lame joke. I said I thought it was Major Jason L. that created the Space Force. Nah. I don't want to say his full name on the stream. Give that guy more attention. No.
Didn't his like thesis got like booted from MIT or something? Like,
Yeah, they took him down.
Why? What happened with that? Like, I haven't been following that closely.
I don't know. Maybe it was a political thing. Maybe it's because he's part of the military, and they were like, "No, this is getting too political. You're not supposed to be like publicly political. You're not supposed to like tie it to your military identity is not supposed to be tied to your political identity." That was kind of one thing they taught us. Like, don't be protesting in uniform. You can protest, but don't protest in uniform. Don't use your position as a military member to, you know, to promote your active duty military member to promote whatever political ideology you're going after.
Right. We're crossing that line. Okay.
Hey, sorry to interrupt one more time. I posted a link in the YouTube comments. Vitalik, I know that a lot of people don't like him, but he wrote a fairly instructive, informative thing on the whole WorldCoin and the orb and the hardware. That was like one of the best breakdowns I've seen so far. So if anyone's interested, it's worth a read. Like, you know, you might read it with a grain of salt because it's Vitalik, but there's good information in there.
So does he give it a fair assessment? Is he coming down hard on it? Or does he see like it could potentially work as intended?
He kind of brings up a lot of peripheral points. Like he talks about the problem from a more general perspective. Like, okay, how do you do, what are the pros and cons? What's the possibility of doing some kind of global personhood or digital ID, digital personhood kind of stuff? And he talks about the pitfalls. He talks about the things that could be good by doing it. I felt like he gave it a pretty impartial, like he didn't write in a tone that was promoting one way or another. I think if I had to say, he would probably be slanted towards, if we could figure out how to do it, that would be great. The technical challenges are significant, and there's no guarantee that they'll be resolved anytime soon. So yeah, he's probably like, yeah, we should do it. I'm inferring, and probably he thinks we should do it if we can, but he's maybe a technocrat. I don't know, but he wants to be careful to get the technology right. So that's the way I took it.
Got a couple more things real quick we can look at. So we've got new discovery of an ambient temperature or pressure superconductor. This is massive thread here. That's in the description if you want to read all that. But it looks pretty interesting. If all this is true, and then the CA Libertad, they're taking on Drunk Dial Me's XMR Priest Challenge, showing services that accept Monero, and so they're showing one right here, a hardware store.
That's in RG. Yeah, CA Libertad, he's the guy that came on and Andreas.
Yeah. That was like a month ago or so. Yep.
Yeah, he's the one running the show down there in Argentina, spreading the word.
Synthetic paints, rollers, and brushes. So at a hardware store, they bought all that stuff with Monero. Super awesome. Super cool.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, we'll and another one. A supermarket sold us products for some pizzas. They use my Monero. Oh, okay, cool.
Are they adopting WorldCoin in his village as well?
Doubtful. Another store, somebody using Monero.
Wow. And so, yeah, my understanding.
Going crazy.
Haircut. Yeah, and I think all these people that he's approaching and getting to accept Monero are people that are in his like WhatsApp group of like soccer gamblers.
Look at Andreas in the background.
Ah.
Shit. I think it's his video on Monero.
Video explaining Monero.
Yeah. His one in Spanish.
Oh my god, this oh, is
background
up.
Showing you the video in Spanish. That's funny. That's crazy. They've got it going like hard there.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Good. That's pretty super good. Cool. I've said it a couple times. Like we're considering, maybe doing Monerotopia there. And if we do, we'd want to go down there pretty soon to check it out. So I'd probably look to visit this town, see what's going on, meet this kid. It's pretty cool. I love it. That's it. Any guys? Any comments? People have any comments on the Argentina? What's going down in Argentina or this super conductor? That seems to revolutionize things overnight. I don't know, D. Marsha, did you see that? I know you've got a good physics.
I actually missed on that. Yeah, no, I've been waiting for a long time for those things to come out. I don't know how I missed that news. I'm going to be looking into that. I did some good work with that. With things can be complicated though, based on the frequency and skin depth and power and all that sort of thing with superconductors and what you can put through them before they actually start to lose their superconductivity. So I'm going to be interested to see what the materials are able to do with and what it looks like they're going to be able to do.
Yeah, I mean, people on the debate on Twitter has been, whether or not this is actually legit, if the reason.
Oh, okay. And, yeah, I'll have to look into it then.
It sounds like a too good to be true type of thing.
It really does.
Buddy, I don't know. Did you take a look at it?
Yeah, I've heard conflicted things. I read something where allegedly the main guy that released the paper had another superconductor claim that was published and they like recently retracted it. The paper was like, no one can replicate this. Supposedly the process is really easy. Like this should be very easy to replicate. Even a lot of kind of garage scientists are saying, hey, I just need a kiln and some basic materials and I should be able to replicate this. So allegedly we should know like within a couple weeks, whether or not this is true. But DeMartian makes very good points. Like, it, yes, superconductivity means you get zero losses along the way, but that doesn't mean you can take like some microfilament and then pass terawatts of power through, you know, the microfilament. Like, the magnetic field causes breakdown eventually. So like, the devil's in the details. It's maybe they did achieve some kind of like superconductivity. Oh, and by the way, someone else said, no, that wasn't the same guy. It was a different guy. I haven't dug that deep into it. It's possible maybe that there is some kind of like small low level superconductivity, but the actual circuit, the actual path by which it travels is so small. Like, I don't know. DeMartian seems like he knows more about this than I do, but maybe the material itself is so difficult to actually get any significant amount of transmission before the breakdown happens. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see, right? But it would revolutionize everything. Like, our entire world would change in a decade, like overnight almost.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, give us some insight. What are your thoughts on that? Like, what would, obviously, I mean, even things like batteries, right? Now you could have like essentially a perfect battery, right? Where you kind of store the energy and use it as needed. You have no loss, no friction.
Well, to no heat loss.
Just I hope my sound is all right. But
transmitting
one
energy.
Thing.
Go ahead.
One thing that I've been curious about is the number of experiments that people have desired to do is in chemistry and physics, all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of models for how anti-gravity would work that would require superconductors on a low level. As soon as it's verified to be at least close to true, that would mean that the experiments that could be conducted that people have wanted to do for hundreds of years would now be on the table. It would revolutionize flight almost certainly, is one thing to consider.
How would it, in what way would it directly affect flight?
Well, this depends on what field of science you want to believe, but everybody kind of knows a little bit about how all of the forces are probably one fundamental force at some level. And assuming that there was no loss in one force, you'll be all right. You would be able to resist gravity with the electromagnetic properties that would be on the table. And it can get really, really complicated, but it has to do with field theory, right? And that's one of the reasons why they call it unified field theory, is because all forms of forces operate in either fields or compression waves. And either way, if you were able to completely eliminate the losses from one fundamental force, in theory, you can eliminate the losses from all fundamental forces. And then tiny amounts of energy would allow you to resist gravity.
Sounds like some good tech for jumping from one dimension to another, right? Is this the alien tech that we're talking about here? Is this where the reverse engineering that they're talking about? Is this where we got this?
I'm not so sure. Yeah, I mean, we've made small creatures levitate with superconductors, like spiders and that sort of thing.
Frogs are the biggest ones so far, at least that we know
heavy
of.
Magnetism, though.
I was thinking frogs. Yeah, so we've gotten that far. But really, I think if we have anything that just shows some kind of close to room temperature superconductivity, even if it's not finicky, even if it's minute and limited in its application, that itself would be one of the biggest revolutions for it in decades.
Even if obviously a small amount, they would it gives us a template for a place to start experimenting. It's like, oh, what do we do? How do we make material? Like, how do you, I don't know, create the electron pairs or whatever it is, but like just a place to start where a million different researchers could start saying, okay, well, how can we change this process? How can we tune it? Like, you'll get significant improvements just on the process improvements within years at most.
Amazing. How would this affect like computing and the internet?
Well, the upper limit for computers, as far as like processing power, heat is a major issue. And heat comes mostly from the waste of the electrical interactions. So just by the reduction in heat, you would be talking a massive uplift in computing power with available architecture.
But it would have to build entirely new fabs for like an entirely new process based on the ceramics.
Okay, it wouldn't be close to what we have today. It wouldn't work the same.
One thing to consider is that aside from the heat dissipation, like a fan, everything that all the power that electronics consume, eventually gets converted into heat losses. So by removing the losses from, let's say, even part of the conductors, you suddenly reduce the power consumption dramatically, and you create the ability for smaller pathways, dissipation, things to get closer together, and things to probably an exponential scale become vast improvements.
There's also the question of quantum computing. It's not necessarily the biggest problem, because they can, you know, these specialized computers can just chill down to, you know, close to absolute zero. But quantum computing suddenly opens up significantly, where you can get more qubits. I don't know, maybe someone else knows more about it. If I understand correctly, it's the error correction is like the major hurdle for quantum computing right now.
And just access to energy itself would be cheap, right? Because now we could produce energy in the cheapest way possible and then transfer without any loss.
Yeah, that itself
depends on the cost of production of the material. You know, if the cost for producing such a material is high enough, you know. Yeah,
what's proposed in this paper, though, like Body was saying, like people are experimenting, right? And they're in their base. Like it doesn't seem like it's a very complicated material being utilized for building them. I don't know enough, but right, Body, aren't they suggesting like this is like some simple materials that are just being formulated in the correct way?
Yeah, it's some kind of ceramic. I don't remember all the materials, but like there's some clay involved. There's some lead, and I don't know a few other things. Like there weren't like crazy rare earth elements like plutonium or something,
right?
And then you just had to bake it in a kiln, and supposedly out pops a superconductor.
Oh my god, this is amazing. Guys, we got any other stories? Otherwise we'll wrap it up here. We'll keep it
No, I think that was it for the news.
Yeah, this is a big week. I'm personally very excited about the aliens. It's probably a psyop.
Yeah,
very exciting, man. It's so exciting.
Let's just say this. If the superconductor is real, the aliens are probably real. What are the chances both these pieces come out this close together?
Right. We'll leave it at this, guys. Thank you so much. Body, thank you as always. Galaska Anon, thanks for jumping on. D. Marsh, thanks for being the special guest this week. Excited about the wallet and what you're doing.
Andreas and Vic, everyone else.
Vic, thanks for jumping up. I think that's everybody. Tux, as always, man. Thanks for running things.
Of course.
Andreas, thank you so much for jumping up, and we'll see you guys next week, same time at 11 a.m. Eastern, Saturday mornings.
All right, have a good one, guys.
Peace.
Cheers. Later. It was great.
Thank you for joining us on this week's Monerotopia episode. We stream live shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern. You can find and subscribe to our show on YouTube and Odyssey, or listen to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter or join us in the Monerotopia Telegram group. See you all next week.